Turn with me, if you will, this morning to John chapter 20. We'll be looking at verses 11 through 18 this morning. John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. Through the years, inside and outside the church, there has been many voices that have questioned one aspect or another concerning Christ's resurrection. And many of them do this to their own shame. Because if you are a person who claims to be a person of faith, who claims to be a Christian, and you question the resurrection, you're bringing serious doubt on the faith that you profess. As Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. So if you're a Christian this morning and wondering if the resurrection is true, we need to have a conversation, because it's the basis for your faith. On the other hand, if you don't claim Christ, then one of your chief jobs in the world is to stand opposed to the church, to stand opposed to this concept of the resurrection of Christ. Because most people, atheists and others who seek to undermine the church, know how foundational the resurrection of Christ is to the overall message. In fact, it gets at the purpose of the church and gets at the central component of our faith, for he is risen. So this morning, we're starting a short series on looking at some of the appearances of Jesus after his resurrection, so that we can have the biblical assurance and the joyful confidence that he has in fact risen, especially when those outside these walls, or maybe even in your own heart, are questioning, seeking to undermine your faith. Now, just because I'm going to give you all these great facts, it's not so that you can browbeat people into believing the resurrection of Christ. It's about compassionately and patiently presenting the truth. It's up to the Holy Spirit to do his work, if it is his will to work at all. Christ is risen. And so this morning we're going to look at the appearance of Christ with Mary Magdalene. Now, before I read John 20, 11 through 18, I'm going to read a couple of other texts that gives us the context in which we are looking at this particular moment. I'm going to read again Mark chapter 16, 1 through 8, and then I'm going to drop down to John chapter 20, verse 2. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen, and he is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. So Mary and the other women ran to Peter and to John. John chapter 20, verse 2 through 10. She ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid them. Well, laid him." So Peter went with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping in to look, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been around Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Now to the text for us. Mary's left standing there by herself, or so she thinks. Verse 11 through 18. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means "my teacher." Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to the brothers and say to them, 'I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Father God, we're grateful for your continued reminders that what you say is true. By faith, we see the truth. By faith, we understand the truth. By faith, we accept the truth. Thank you, Father, for the Spirit that works within us to do just these things for us. For without him, we could do nothing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I read those first two sections, like I said, to give us a context from what's going on. You may have wondered last time where they had run to. Well, John chapter 2, verse 2 tells us where they took off, where they ran to. They ran to Peter and John to tell them what they had heard and what they had seen. And then together with Peter and John, Mary returned to the tomb. Peter and John, they did their thing. They went in and checked it out. And then they left and they went home to contemplate what they had seen. Because as the text says, they didn't understand about the resurrection. For as yet, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And it's interesting that John is saying that about himself. At that moment, he didn't understand. But they've gone and Mary is left alone with no hope. Verse 11 through 13. Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look in. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid them." This is Mary, Mary Magdalene, who Jesus had taken from her up to seven demons. She had been possessed and Jesus healed her. She became a loyal follower, supporter of Jesus, the disciples, and the ministry of the kingdom. She was a devoted disciple. This Mary Magdalene stands alone here in front of the tomb weeping. The word is like an uncontrollable weep. Some of us have experienced that in our lifetime. Some of us have seen others weep in such a way. Why is she weeping? Well, her Lord is missing, or I should say, from her perspective, the body of her Lord is missing. Even though she had been told by the man in white when she first got to the tomb that he had risen. But just like Peter and John, she didn't yet understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. However, even in the midst of her weeping and her uncontrollableness, she's still not convinced of what's going on, so she looks into the tomb. It had just been empty, except for the linen cloth. And what does she see? Two angels, one at the head and one at the feet. But what did she really see? Doesn't appear that she saw two angels. She just saw two guys. So she saw, but she didn't really see. Because Matthew's Gospels describes these guys, these angels, if you will, as white as lightning. The Greek word means startling, striking, frightening, brilliant. Not your ordinary Joe in some white tuxedo. These guys stood out. Apparently they lit up the whole tomb. And yet, even though she'd already been told that she was searching for the wrong things, her focus, her mind is still on a dead man. Jesus had surely died. But he had also risen just as he said he would. Instead of seeing the brilliance of these angels, which would have certainly given her some understanding of what was going on, again, she can't see because she's still caught up in her grief. Or maybe she's just caught up in her anger. Because like she tells the angels, somebody took my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him. Or you say, well, it's got to just be grief. Well, there's probably some anger in there as well. She should have wondered at the encounter. Instead, she is in grief and in anger because someone has taken the Lord's body, even though she's already been told that he is risen. Mary's not much different than us, is she? We can get so wound up in things that no matter what's being said or who's standing in front of us, it doesn't make any difference. We are so convinced with whatever's going on in our minds that it doesn't matter. The truth doesn't matter for us. And the truth was standing right in front of Mary. That takes us to the next section. Jesus appears to Mary. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Now, the $64,000 question is clear, right? How is it that she could not tell that that was Jesus standing right in front of her? One of his most devoted followers looked square at him and didn't see him. Well, some people say it's because she was crying so hard she couldn't see, though she clearly was carrying on a conversation with those angels and that kind of thing. Other people say, well, maybe she was looking into the sunlight as the sun came up and she couldn't see. All viable possibilities, except seems to me more likely that she was blinded purposely, just like the guys on the road to Emmaus. As there were things for her to learn that she hadn't learned yet. The fact is, she didn't see Jesus standing in front of her. But of course, that always begs the question when I read this text, how often do I not discern the reality of Christ in my life? Oh, the reality of his word in my life as it speaks to me, as he is the Lord and Savior of the church, how often do I not pay attention? Or am so caught up in my own thing that I can't see the truth? You know, when we doubt in any way, our discernment is clouded. And it's at that moment that we could fail. Fail in seeing Jesus, but also fail in doing his will. Matthew Henry comments here, though the eyes of love are the quickest to discern these wondrous realities, yet the vision tarries and is for an appointed time. And even they whom ultimately see, even they have to wait for it. Mary was still so focused on a dead body. Even the question that Jesus asks her doesn't spur her. He says, whom are you seeking? That question is speaking about a living person. Who are you seeking? Reminding her that she's still looking for the wrong one. For he is risen. And she should be seeking the living Savior. Life would be a whole lot easier for her at this moment. Not easy, but easier. And thirdly, Mary finally sees Jesus. Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means my teacher. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. So she sees. She who was healed from demonic possession now has been healed of her spiritual blindness by one word, her name, Mary. Was it simply that Jesus said her name in a way that sparked all of her thinking? Or was it the power of the Savior to bring her to her senses and she sees? It's the same for us. We can only see the person of Jesus when he changes our hearts, thus opening our eyes to the reality of him and his word through the work of the Holy Spirit. It's his work and his word alone that moved David to say, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. For even David as a believer knew that it took the Spirit to encourage and open his eyes to see the truth. Jesus had opened her eyes at just the right time, at just the moment of his choosing. With the calling of her name, she says, Rabboni. The only two words in this whole conversation at this point was Mary and Rabboni. Sometimes I wish General Assembly would go like that. Just two words. But we've all been there, saying a lot of things don't matter. Just those two words said it all. Dramatic moment. Two words takes her from grief to joy. Her response registers recognition and reverence. My teacher also reflects the personal nature of their relationship. This is a fulfillment of yet another of Jesus' prophecy to his disciples when he said, you will have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Mary sees and recognizes the resurrected Lord for the first time. And in her joy, she obviously leaps up and grabs him to hang on to him, to feel his physical presence. But Jesus responds quickly, do not cling to me. Or in other words, actually the Greek says, stop clinging to me. Did he say this to teach Mary that he's not just her Savior and Lord? As she had said, they've taken away my Lord. Was she missing some point here by him saying that? His cross and his resurrection had created a totally new relationship. As individuals are saved, they're saved to become part of a bigger picture. The church brought into the family of which Jesus is our master, our teacher, our Lord, our God. This shared relationship is crucial because there is no such thing as solitary Christians. But Jesus also speaks of his coming again, his ascension. For I have not yet ascended to the Father. And then he says, tell the disciples, I am ascending. This is yet another crucial doctrine for Christians to understand. This marks the completion of Jesus' earthly ministry and his return to glory to the right hand of the Father, just as he said he would. But it also marks the fact that the Spirit is coming. He had to leave so that the Spirit would come upon his children in fullness. And lastly, his ascension verifies the role of intercessor for each of us who believe. Now, once she sees Jesus, what does Jesus do? He sends her on a mission. Go and tell. Go and tell. That's for all of us. Emphasizes our role as witness to his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. For he is risen. And he sends her on a mission. He is risen. And we share in that relationship with his Father and God by virtue of his death, his resurrection. Mary Magdalene is the first witness to the resurrected Lord. Dedicated, devoted follower. Also a woman. Could preach a whole sermon on that. Male and female before Christ. Equal. But she got that position. And after she told, or before she told the disciples what Jesus had told her to tell them, what did she say? She couldn't hold it in anymore. I've seen the Lord. Her encounter with the Lord, as I said before, transformed her grief into joy and certainty. Jesus had loved her well by healing her from the demon possession, that physical healing, giving her her life back. And now he has healed her once again spiritually by opening her eyes so that she could delight in seeing him. Her heart was open to the fact that one hand there's sorrow, on the other hand there is joy. And they often mingle together like oil running down a beard. Jesus turns her sorrow to joy when she sees. And through the Holy Spirit, we are enabled to see him, to see his word, and to proclaim to those around us the truth of his resurrection with joy and certainty. Mary was the first. We'll see others as we go through this series together, as we rejoice in God's word in Jesus' name. Amen.